You know, also as well, I think when we look around, there's a lot of people missing this morning, and many are away, some are ill, some are away. But I guess on reflection, you think to yourself, I always say to you, people, when it's holidays, people want to go away, and some have. Which leaves us who are here. Thank God we're here anyway. Thank God Jesus is here. Don't let your ship go down. But I want to put you, picture your life right now. Just close your eyes a second. I'm not asking you to go into a deep trance and visualize. This is not a settee. But just picture yourself as a living vessel floating on the ocean. And the challenge is for you to remain upright at all times. Irrespective of weather change, irrespective of storms, you are a vessel that is designed to stay upright and buoyant at all times. Amen? You've got to sail the ocean and you've got to navigate the ocean. So you've got two tasks ahead of you. One, you've got to stay upright. And two, you've got to navigate your way through. Yeah? You've got to navigate your way through trouble, hardships, difficulties, disappointment, and success. That's life. Now, is that not life? Is that not a picture of our life? Of course it is. It's a picture of our life. But maybe that describes your life. Maybe you feel like your life's been tipped on its side. Now, I think I can see myself in that ship. There's times when I felt like I've listed, I've leant too far over, and I've gone too far. Anybody ever gone too far? One or two. All right. The rest of you, get in the baptism, get your sins cleansed. Baptistry, I should say. AJ, you're the only saint in the house, apparently. The rest lights herself. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. I've read this scripture before. I'm going to read it to you again. After the men had gone a long time, Acts 27, picking up at verse 21. 27, verse 21. After men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." That's the last thing you want to hear, doesn't it? When you've ignored somebody. See, God never, when God tells you to do something, you do the opposite. God doesn't gloat. God just brings you back to what you should have done. And he says, "You should have taken my advice not to sail to Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss." Record the word damage and loss, or spare yourself damage and loss. Every ocean has potential damage and loss. Your life goes through seasons where you feel damaged and you suffered loss, whether emotionally, relationally, psychologically, financially. If you've ever invested, you will have a season of loss. If you have more seasons of loss than gains, you're in the wrong business. You don't make all the time. You've got to lose. That's what brings you boundaries and caution and checks the greed in your own heart. Yeah? But how many of you know you can't do anything in life unless you invest? Relationally, psychologically, emotionally. We have to invest ourselves. The measure we put in is the measure we get out. So then he says, "You would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Why? Because you are the vessel. Hello. You are the vessel. What you own, all that you own can be replaced. But you are the living vessel that God lives in by his Spirit. Amen? God lives in you. God's invested in you. God hasn't invested in your house or your goods. You did that. But God's invested in you. If God can get his man or his woman on the ground, God has no problem getting things to you. But God's got to get in you and through you to get things to you. That is a very fundamental principle you and I must learn. And you see, we suffer loss because we go the opposite way. If God can get in you, he can get through you. And if he can do that, he has no problem getting things to you. He's a God. He's God. Amen? So, not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Now, I'd like to think every man got off that boat. That can be salvaged. But if human life goes down, it's gone forever. That ship did not create itself. Human life created that ship. And that ship can be the destroyer and the destruction of human lives because of weather patterns. Anybody there? Now, it's raining outside. Some of you may have realized when you walk through the door, you were wet. Now, you put yourself in an ocean now when it's raining, it's very different. On the high seas, where the wind is blowing, the waves are blowing, and all of a sudden, you're everywhere. Isn't that right? God is merciful to us. He lets things fall on us. But at all times, you must keep upright and buoyant. So then he says, last night, an angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, stood beside me, thank God for that, and said, thank God when God begins to speak in the middle of the ocean. Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. Great. I'm not going to die in the sea, but I will die eventually. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail within you. So keep up your courage, men. Keep up your courage. Though the waves have battered us, though the waves have knocked us from side to side, he says, keep up your courage, because without courage, you've got nothing. You're very quiet this morning. Did you all come in a boat? For I have faith in God. For I have faith in God that it will happen. Has anybody got faith in God that it will happen? Yes. So how many of you know, trouble can be like an unwanted postman. Trouble is like an unwanted postman who's delivering a bill you don't want, or he's delivering bad news you don't want. Have you ever noticed about your postman? When he's got a bill for you, he never forgets your address. And the letter never gets lost. You don't find Mrs. Smith from number 38 running down the road. Oh, we opened your gas bill this morning. No, your gas bill always finds a way to your house. Is that not true? Now, with prices rising and fuel and all the nonsense that's going on around us, many of you will be fearful that you will not be able to make it. We don't have enough money at the end of the month, and bills are going up, bills are going up, bills are going up. That is the news that can destabilize your ship. But last night, the angel of God, whose I am, stood at the side of me and said something very different. So who do you listen to? Now, God isn't going to send an angel to you. Why? Because he sent the Holy Spirit to do that. So he doesn't need an angel to come to us, to talk to us. God speaks to us by his truth, by his word, by his spirit. So God's trying to avoid that at all costs. Avoid that picture. But maybe your Christianity is something more like that. That's your idea of your Christian faith. But you can't understand how you go from that to that. How do you go from that to that? Or from that to that? Now, I like the idea of blue skies. They say, if your version of Christianity is, I expect God to look after me, to protect me, to make my life nice and easy, if that's your idea of Christianity, then you don't have Christianity. You have your own fictitious understanding of what you think Christianity is. God didn't promise you a cruise. But, now when I look at that, I don't look at expense. That's not the first thing. I think to myself, that boat, for that week I'm on that boat, that is just self-indulgence. And people go, sign me up, baby. Sign me up for a week of self-indulgence. Now, who wouldn't want a week on that? You wouldn't want a week on that. Okay, Carol. Thank you, Lord. But who would want to live on a boat like that every day? Nobody would want to live on it. Because it's not real, is it? That's pleasure for a while. Pleasure for a while. But after that, it's just self-indulgence. Becomes carnal. Becomes unproductive. I tell you what I would like. I'd like the blue skies forever. I like the blue skies. You can keep the boat, but give me the blue skies. It's just not a real picture of our Christianity, is it? It's not a real picture of life. Do you think so? I don't think so. So when trouble comes from different, it comes in different sizes, doesn't it? It comes in different directions. It comes from people we never expected. And it also comes from people we do expect. It comes in small, medium, and large size. Trouble can come at any direction, at any time, and it never asks for permission. But then there's a trouble that we create. And then there's a trouble that finds us, and there's a trouble that we find. Is that not true? Now you see, it may come at different stages, different times, at different rates. It's coming. Trouble is coming. For some of you, you may have walked in with trouble. Some of us, sometimes we wear trouble on our face. So we see trouble as it walks through the door. Jesus saw the woman who was troubled. And he reached out to her. Trouble has a look. How many times you look, you say to the old saying, oh, here comes trouble. Why? Because trouble has a, we've seen trouble before. But that's the trouble we know. But what about the trouble we don't know? It's coming. Now, the issue is this. When trouble comes to our lives, it's got to be observed. It's got to be processed. See, there's nothing worse than someone who reacts to a trouble. When you're young and immature, you react to trouble. You don't process it and respond and measure your response. You go at it like a bull in a china shop. True? Come on. Yeah. Carol used to say to me when I was younger with the kids, you're like a bull in a china shop with the kids. And then slowly but surely, you learn that how to deal with kids, you learn how to talk with them and blah, blah, blah. And every now and then, you go in with short bursts because, let's face it, we're all trying to learn to be parents. And, you know, your first one is your first one. Your second one, I'm sorry, Scott, you were the first one. We had to learn on you. And then you get the next one, Laura, and you think, well, I don't have to make the same Scott mistakes on Laura. But then you make Scott and Laura mistakes. So then Ben comes along. I don't have to make Scott and Laura mistakes on Ben. But then you make Scott, Laura, and Ben mistakes. Is that not true? Come on. Because we're learning. And we learn with kids. Kids create trouble. Silence is trouble when you've got kids. We all know that. If the silence in the house is trouble, they're up to mischief. And when you go silent in your relationship, God knows you're up to something else. Of course he does. That's me kids. So, is this your idea? Is this what you expect you signed up for when you became a Christian? Only you know that. Because I look at most Christians and I think most Christians really seem surprised when they go through trouble. And trouble has no definitive time of when it's going to end. It can go on for a long, long time depending how we respond. True? And depending on what we learn. If we don't learn well, we're going to prolong our troubles. So the antidote to trouble, what do you think it is? It's in that picture there. When I see that picture there, and I see a boat and on a calm waters and a blue sky, I think thoughts of peace, tranquility, calmness. Right? Now, you know, when you buy your ticket, you took your troubles on board that ship. Whatever troubles you turned up with on that ship is you're going to take them on board. True? If you've got debt, you take debt on board. If you've got a marriage problem, you take the marriage. Some people will go on a cruise to try and fix the marriage. Whatever problem you've got prior to getting on that boat, you will take it on that ship. But it doesn't mean to say you might buy a cruise but not be able to buy a night's sleep. You may buy a cruise and eat beautiful food but have no peace inside your heart. Peace, my friends, is one of the greatest gifts God can give to you and I. The peace of God. Wow. The peace of God is the river that surrounds and flows through all your trouble. People can't buy peace. People are searching everywhere for peace. Peace in the heart, peace in the mind, peace in the pocket. Peace in the soles of the shoes. Peace. The world's crying for peace. Right now, Ukraine's crying for peace. And other parts of the world. Give me a rest from this stress. Give us a rest. How do we find peace in the midst of depression? How do we find peace in the midst of sickness? How do we find peace in the midst of unhappiness? Peace is the greatest gift God can give to you and I. I put to you this morning, members of the parliament, you can go through any storm providing you have the peace of God with you. Any storm, come hell or high water, as Pastor Kwame always says. Come hell or high water, you can go, you and I can face any devil, any storm, any setback with the peace of God in our hearts. I put it to you, fight for the peace of God. Go to John 16:33, if you will, please. I'm just not quite sure that we fully understand what peace is and what the peace of God is. And my mission this morning is not to talk to you about the peace of God, but to actually tell us that we need it. Because I'm going somewhere else over these next couple of weeks. But we'll visit peace, because peace is coming back to us. Amen? In this house, peace must flow like a river. Now, if you got here early this morning, like some of us did, musicians, we heard the sound of many waters. As the water was falling, as the tap was open, and it was falling. And they said, oh, it sounds like the throne room. And there's a peaceful noise. So there's a peace that comes from running water, isn't there? As we entered in this morning, we saw. And then our hearts began to despair when we realized it was still half full. Peace. So Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you these things. Just pause. Stop. Stop right there. Don't read the rest. Eyes up. Why do you think it's important for Jesus to tell us things? Peace can't come until things have been said. I said peace can't come to your life until things have been taught or things have been said. So that then you then can lay hold of those things that have been said, so that the door can open for peace to come. Peace will not come unless you can hold on to what's been said. Here's a key factor, right here. If you can't hold on to what someone says, peace will not enter your situation. It's so key. You don't have to remember all they've said, you have to remember something what they've said. You need at least a blueprint to start moving you in a different direction from the trouble, the stress, the anxiety, and the depression. Something's got to take you and redirect you somewhere else. And it's not somewhere, it's to someone. God doesn't direct you. Listen, The Bible, I'm going to say this very carefully because I know there's religious people in here. The Bible is not the source of your help. Our pastors just said the Bible is not the source of your help. Can I re-clarify it for the religious? The Word of God is the source of your help. We call it the Bible. Scripture doesn't call it the Bible. Scripture calls it the Word of God. Difference. If your hope is in a book, buy a Quran. These are the blueprint instructions given to us. We put them in a book, we call it the Bible. My hope is not in a book per se. My hope is in the one who wrote it. Because this is living and active. If I buy a book, it's just a book. But if I can connect with the author, now it becomes living and active in me. So, go back to the scripture. I want to just pick on that up because it's important. I have told you these things. So Jesus has labored and he's spoken and he's taught and he's opened his heart and he's told them things. And now he's picking up on another conversation, but he's telling them this conversation comes on the backdrop of all the other things I have spoken to you. Can you understand that? Some people only ever listen to a Sunday sermon. That's not. If you've been with God all through the week, and then you listen to something on a Sunday, you can see that God is continuing with you where you've been. This week I've been praying specifically about something. Only to find this morning as I open my phone, somebody's text me with the very thing I've been praying about this week. I just felt this. I was impressed in the middle of the night to text you and let you know. I go, wow. The very thing I've been talking to the Lord about this week is the very thing God's confirming to me. Now that's the kind of relationship I want. Why? Because I've not connected with the Bible this week. I've been connecting with the living Word. Now I'm continuing with what God's been saying. I am even ministering to you today out of what God's been speaking to me. So our relationship, I don't talk to Carol in isolation. Our conversation, I can go out in the day, all through the day, and come back and connect and re-pick up where we left off in a conversation. You all do that. So why is our spiritual conversation any different? Your point of contact with God cannot only be on a Sunday. If there is, something's wrong. You'll never find the peace of God. Peace rolls all the way through that Bible. In fact, that is so deep, you'll drown in that. I've told you these things, so, here we go, underline, so that in me you may have peace. I've told you these things so that in me, he's the source. He's identifying himself as the primary source of your peace. Your source is not in a book. Your source is in the author. In me, he says. My hope is not in Carol. Carol's hope is not in me. Your hope as a congregation is not in what I preach. Your hope in Christ is in Christ. My ministry should be to make sure that hope stays alive in you so that you can still keep drawing from the peace. Amen? So he says, so that in me you may have peace. There's the primary source. The primary source is not in a coping mechanism. It's in a person. We know coping mechanisms help people. I'm not giving them a bad rap. What I'm saying, as a Christian, our hope and our peace comes in Christ. In Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. It's not in the news at 10. It's not in the 6 o'clock news or 7, whatever time it comes on. It's not in Sky News. It's not in BBC News. It's not in any news report I hear. My hope is in Christ. My peace comes from Christ. Amen? In this world, you will have trouble. So if you're a Christian, see, even if you get on that thing and it starts sailing, and as it heads out, it heads into different regions and the weather patterns change. And before you know it, oh, don't want any of that food. Oh, don't give me a drink. Oh, I don't want anything. All of a sudden, all the self-indulgent luxuries that called out to you, now you can't even stomach them because of the weather that's changed. And it's amazing when Jesus tells us, come to the banqueting table and eat the banqueting table that God supplies for you. And you come in because of trouble. Oh, I can't eat food. Oh, just tell me something nice. Just tell me something nice. Just give me something, Pastor, to make my stomach go level again. Just take the pain away. And now they want quick fix. They don't want him. They want what he supplies. Oh, sorry. You can't have the peace and tranquility without the person. Number one, that's what you've got to have all the time. It's, I'll go to church and they'll pray for me, and the elders will. The Bible tells me if I get the elders to pray for me and everything, I'll be well. Yes, it does. But the elders are not your peace. The elders are not your peace. He's your peace. So he says, in this world you will have trouble. Wow. Great, Lord. It's just encouragement. But then he says, take heart. Courage. Why? Because I've overcome it. There's a way to overcome. There's a way to get through. It's a way to get round. It's a way to get over. That it's not the way of the world. It's not the way the pattern all my mates tell me. It's not all the way social media tell me. It's not the way Sky News tells me. It's not the way what everybody else tells me. But there is a way. Trouble's finding you. Trouble's coming to you, whether you're Christian or you're not a Christian, irrespective of that. Life is full of trouble. Jesus told us that. But the difference between you and the world is, if you know Jesus, there is a way. He talks about how to get through it. Now, you may not like that way. You may not even want to trust that way. You may not even want to walk that way. That's your choice. But there still is a way. Some of us made it through the rain. Some of us made it through the storm. Some of us did. Now, the young people think, because you've got energy and strength, which you have, it's okay. I've got loads of time to make mistakes. And to some degree, yes, you've got resilience and you've got time. Yes, you have. But if we can help you save some scars along the way, then isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it? And some of you who are older, I've been around that mountain a long time, and you keep going around the mountain because you won't listen. There's no glory in going around the same mountain. Go around it once, learn from it, and never go around it again. If you learn from going around the mountain, you knew there's another way. When we climbed Nevis, there was more than one way. All of them were hard. All of them came with trouble. All of them came with sweat. But there's different ways, but there was a way. Now, the first time I did it, I went a different way. The second time I did it, I went a different way. Both tired me out, both floored me, but I found it and I did it. We got there in the end. So, if your version of, is that your version of Christianity? You're on the wrong ship. Now, I think this one is more of a right picture. I'm going to explain why that ship signifies my life more than that. That's only ever going to be a week. And I've just, as you've heard this morning, it's been announced by Carol News, she's not going on one. So that's not even my dream no more. Carol's shattered my dreams this morning. Not that I ever wanted to go on a cruise anyway. But we got a kayak, baby, it's okay. This is your life more than you think. Why? Because that vessel is carrying the weight of the world. Is it not? And every one of those containers is upright and stable. Now the water, in all fairness, the water looks peaceful waters. In fact, those waters don't look like they're going to trouble that ship, do they? No. But even if that ship goes into troubled waters, they are confident that all those things on that ship, they won't lose anything. True? Why is that? Because everything's stacked neatly in order. Now, that's your... think of it. Every one of those containers, let's just take one. Let's just take the top one, the white one on the left, on my left. Let's call that one emotions. Your human emotions. Then let's just take all the white ones at the back of the ship. Let's just say that's emotions. And then there's your mental well-being. Then let's take the third one in and let's call it your finances. And let's take the next one, call it your marriage. Then let's take the next one and call it all your relationships. Then let's take the next one and call it your career. Let's take the next one and call it your children. Or your children's career. And every one of those containers is enough to get your attention and destabilize you. Every one of those. Now look how many are on that thing. Look how many containers are on that ship. But think of your ship there. All right, you might not have all them on it, but in every ship you've got containers. And very often those containers are the very things that contain you. Emotionally, they're the very things that's going to destabilize you. Come on. Your own emotions. Your own desires. Your own carnality is what will cause that ship to rock from side to side. Any trouble in any one of those containers is enough to cause you to become like that. But you're always trying to get back to that state. That's the wrong reference point. So when you go to the doctors, give me some tablets, give me some coping mechanisms. Why? Because I just want to get back to peace. That's not peace. That's peace. That's called managing life. That's called reality. We manage things. We lead, we give our emotions, our life, we give it leadership, we give it management, we give it responsibility. Not one of those things are lost when we deal with things in the right way. If we want the peace of God in our lives, it is dependent upon who we listen to and what we draw from and who we draw from. I have been through many, many storms, just like you and I. But my ship is still upright and my cargo has not been lost. Why did in the book of Acts, when we read Paul's story, why did the cargo get lost? Because they wouldn't listen. It all started because they wouldn't listen. Paul told them, don't go. They all had a different interest on that boat. The centurion had a different interest. The captain of the boat had an interest. They all had monetary interest and value in it. And Paul didn't have any other attachment other than his God connection. Don't go, boys. But they all went. That's why Paul said, this didn't need to happen if you'd have just listened. So they sacrificed the cargo to survive. You don't have to sacrifice the cargo to survive. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can take my rod and my staff. There's some things you're allowed to take with you. Now, granted, some things might need to get out of your life. But the point is, your vessel can stay upright if you listen to the voice of God. Is there anyone out there? You know, your own immaturity will cause that thing to turn on its side. Dysfunction. And I know none of us think we're dysfunctional. But we are. To some minute and to some crazy proportion. Let's just try I can't go out of the house. I have this thing. And we got a new door now, so we've eradicated that problem. I had this thing that I was never satisfied that the door was locked. So I go back, travel, go round the block again, come to the door, well, yeah, lock the door, get back in the car again, shut up the road, so I can get peace of mind. So now we have one of these doors where you have to lock, like the front door at church, you have to lock it up, then you know the door's locked, so now it's given me peace of mind. It was worth the investment to get the peace of mind. Now the other one is unplugging things. I've got this thing about unplugging things. I know they're my quirks, but I've managed them so they don't destabilize me. And I tell myself, it is finished. It's done. I've unplugged it. Shut up. Go to bed. And I tell myself that. I've instructed myself that. Why? Because those things are not going to start being jettisoned through the night and cause my sleep to be disturbed. The alarm's on. I ain't going back down again unless Queen of the House says, did you unplug the fire? Or do you unplug? We know there are certain things that's got to stay in plug, like the fridge and the freezer. Right? They're the only two things that can stay plugged in our house. Other than that, everything downstairs, lights, all that. But at least we know I get to bed, click it, it is done. It is done. Bed, sleep. I've found my way into peace. Why? Because it's got to be managed. It's got to be managed. Oh, did it do that? It'll wreck you. It'll wreck you, I should say. It'll wreck you. Phil's got this thing. He can't go one route twice. He can't go the same way. Nah, yeah. I can't. But I just choose. That choice is made based on he can't. I can go to bed unplugging things. Now I can. But listen, whether it's all the tins of beans all have to be lined up. So I've got this thing. I like to turn the beans the other way around. Just to wind someone up to see if that behaviour's there. I do it deliberately. I do it. Just to do it. Just to make sure if it's in the room, seeing it, okay. Because if you've got a perfectionist in the room, that's the one thing that's going to drive them crazy. And I'm not a perfectionist. Not to that degree. Why? Because I value sleep. I value peace. So, that is a picture of your life. God should be able to put anything on your deck. Excuse me. How can you be a witness, an effective witness, and not be able to manage that? You've got to be able to manage anything God puts on your deck. Any load, any burden that God puts in your life, you've got to be able to manage, and he's given us the way to do it. You don't see that captain sweating. We're not going to make it, Jimmy. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Why? Because he knows that's loaded according to its parameters. And he knows how to navigate the waters. Now, every now and then, he's going to face a weather pattern and he just might have to start praying. But I think this is more like, no, we know that is totally unrealistic, but I think this is more, the next picture I'm going to show you sums up Christianity more. That one. I think that sums up most Christians. Now, you try to take on too much more than you can handle too quickly. True? How many of you want to do things, but you don't want to go through the process? You want to reach fame and stardom and effectiveness and productivity and fruitfulness because you've got a promise. Woo-wee, you've got a promise. And you think because you've got a promise now, God's going to deliver tomorrow. It's gone quiet in here now. So you've got a promise. Let me encourage you about a promise. God put a promise in the Old Testament prophets that Jesus would come forth. How many years did it take? I'll take your silence then, as you know. Did the promise turn up? Of course we did. The prophets foretold about Jesus. Jesus foretold about the prophets. Jesus fulfilled what the prophets had said. So they worked in sync. But from depending on which prophet spoke and the fulfillment of Jesus, his death and resurrection, hundreds of years passed by. But it was still a promise to Israel. It was still a promise to you and I. True? Right. So when God makes you a promise, you and I know, let's just say, let's work conservatively on a good life is anything from 75 upwards. 75 years. Let's just say, work on that. If you get longer than that, bless God. But let's just say 75 years. And you've got 75 years for all that God's spoken and promised to you to come to fulfillment. But how's it going to come to fulfillment? It's going to come to fulfillment through trouble. Why is trouble needed? Because God's got to make the vessel. God has to make you the vessel. None of us want to be made. There's the problem. We just want to be inheritors of the promise. God is building a vessel. So you want to go too high, too fast, too quickly. So what happens is, that's obviously gone too high. They've thought, you know what, let's get as many on, pile them high, sell them cheap. All that's bound for the ocean. All that cargo, that's Paul's ship. All it's going in the sea. That is ready just to turn over. And many of us live lives like that. That is not the way to live life. Too high, too fast, too soon. Hello? There's only one way. And that's that way. To have width, to have depth, you can have an acceptable height, but you've got to be built right to take the weight. None of us want the weight, the depth, the height. We don't want the process. We don't want that really. But that's a picture of crisis. That's a picture of total crisis. And you know, I've had that. And you've had that. But what I can't understand is when people get older and they've still got a life like that. So, 2 Corinthians 7:5 says this. When we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn. Pressure. Conflicts on the outside. Fears within. Picture the scene. What is that a picture of? Trouble. Hardship. When we entered into Macedonia. So there's always a region that you're going to enter into. It can be your new job. It can be your neighbor. It can be your family, a new family member. It can be any environment that you were not aware of. You step into it and all of a sudden, this is what results in this environment. This body of ours had no rest. It's now a stressful environment. I'm now depressed. I'm now anxious. I'm now full of fear. This environment now is having an effect upon my body. Hello? But look what he's saying. Conflicts on the outside. Fears within. So there's nowhere he can get peace. Conflicts on the out. Fear within. Conflicts on the outside. Fear within. So where do I go? Watch this. Where do I go when the outside, I get no rest and no peace from outside, and internally, I'm full of fear? Listen to me, because this is your answer. You've got to go back to Romans. I'm not going to read it to you, but you know it. You've got to go up. The God within you has got to take you higher. He's got to take you higher so that you know the depth, the width, the height of God's love. So that you can find his peace. It was because peace is not on the outside. fears on the inside. So something has to be drawn from a different dimension. Something has to be drawn from a different dimension to bring peace into this situation. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Anybody been there? Yes. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. I guess if you was in a military zone right now in Ukraine, there's conflicts on the outside and there's fear within. And the adrenaline will be kicking in and pumping, which eventually will weary the body. You can't keep living day to day on adrenaline. It will tire you out and finish you. It will sap every bit of resource out of you, especially if you've got to keep on guard 24 hours. No nutrition, no sleep. The body's under immense pressure. And the enemy's not going away. That's how our lives become. And that's how that things like that begin to. So what do? We let hope go. We let promises go. We let the peace go. We let the future go. We let our marriage go. We let our finances go. And slowly but surely, the whole thing, we lose everything that God gave us. Wow. It's amazing how we can read in Scripture the apostles, the disciples, and all the other believers, how they went through immense pressure, and yet they always had joy. They always had joy. They found the secret supply of joy that came from the peace. The peace of God released the joy of God. Many of you are not grateful because you've never tapped in to the peace that brings you to joy and to thanksgiving. So, 2 Corinthians 1:3. Let's wind this thing up. And let's get this lady in the water. Let's get her baptized, washed in the blood. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Now, let me just say this, because I feel this is worthy of saying. We have a Christianity in the West that is, fix it as quick as you can, with as little fuss as you can, and I don't want to experience any pain or as little pain as I possibly can, so therefore we are never built. You don't build vessels quickly. You build a vessel by time, through process and through skill. True? Hello? There is no such thing as a plaster. And what I say about plaster is this: we are the world's worst at quoting, getting a scripture from a Bible, that makes me feel good when I read it. And I come over and I shove it onto Carol. Look, there's Psalm 91. COVID's in the air. And now all of a sudden, I'll claim Psalm 91. I look a bit camp there. I don't want to do that, but Psalm 91. And I claim it now. And now it'll work for me because I'm claiming it. Hello? I'm now Psalm 91. I should just wear a t-shirt with 91 on the back, shouldn't I? Why? Because I found a scripture that makes me feel good. Or someone comes in and you give them a scripture. Now, there's nothing wrong with scripture. Nothing wrong with Psalm 91. Albeit, Psalm 91 has a context. You can't ignore the context and just shove the plaster on a person and expect the person to reap the benefits when they don't know the context. Oh, it's gone very quiet in this Catholic church right now, hasn't it? So that's why we have the promises of God slapped all over the wall. Now, they're promises, but remember, they come with a context. It's amazing, people quoting Psalm 91, some of them still got COVID. Some people claim all kinds of things. Just because you claim it doesn't mean to say you're going to receive it. Now, do I believe in the promises of God? Absolutely. I'm standing on some of the promises of God, but I understand the context. And a promise is always linked to a condition. If you will, I will. So if you don't do what the context says, guess what? It's a promise to somebody else who's doing it, but not to you. Meanwhile, what we're going to do? We're losing precious cargo. My life seems to be drifting. My life seems to be being lost to the ocean. Underneath that water, there are millions of vessels who have gone the same way. In the fires of hell, are vessels that did that. They jettisoned their faith, their hope, their belief. Underneath the waters of hell, if there's waters, is another world where people's life have been gone to rack and ruin because they could not overcome their troubles. Now it's gone very quiet in this place. And the end of, don't get to the end of the age to see who made it and who didn't. Make sure you learn the principles in this one. We only get one life. Phil, can you turn that water off for us, please? As I'm racking up. Okay, Isaiah 45, verse 9. We'll bring it to an end. See this here? This is a piece of technology you and I need. Every vessel needs that technology. Big vessel, I mean. The white one, yeah. That's called a bow technology. A bow technology. This is fundamental. Do you know why? This thing, this technology, reduces the drag in the water. Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but that can save them thousands and thousands of dollars of fuel. Right? Every one of us have drag on our life. Now, every time you use energy and it does not produce fruit, you know what it is? It's called a fossil fuel. Every wasted thought you had, every emotion you held onto that was negative is a fossil fuel. It's burning up and burning up all the energy, all this peace, all the tranquility in your life. Trouble is a fossil fuel. If it's not managed, it will burn up your life and waste your life crazy. There are people who spend all their life troubled. Hello? And this bow technology is designed to disperse the waves so the ship can go through and it reduces the drag on the ship. Hello? Now, not every vessel needs one, depending on its speed. But you can see that's quite a piece of technology, that. So that's called giving a ship a nose job. It's the front. And it disperses the waves, so that when the waves are dispersed, it doesn't drag the ship. It cuts a pathway. Who doesn't want a pathway cutting through to their promises? Right. It doesn't happen unless you build your life and your vessel in a certain way, unless God, and allow God to build you. That's the technology God wants to put on his church. To cut through and release and to reduce the drag. There's too much drag on the church. Hello? She is not where she needs to be. In many ways. So, Isaiah 45 verse 9 says, woe to him who quarrels with his maker. So if you want a new bow technology, stop quarreling with your maker. Stop quarreling about how he does things, why he does things, who he uses. No, I'm just going to shut down and I'm going to do it all through myself. Really. Continue, enjoy the drag, enjoy the lack of peace, enjoy the trouble. God gives us people to reduce that stuff. But carry on. What do I know? Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. To him who is but a potsherd among the potsherders on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Why are you making it? Why is that size? Why am I like that? I want to be like that. God will just say, that's not the picture I have for you. That's not the church. That isn't the picture I've got for you. But that is the picture with that technology. But I've got to make you, I've got to form you, I've got to fashion you, I've got to let you go through some stuff so that you'll be ready to respond to me at the right pace that you need to respond. So what are you making then? I don't like it. You're taking too long. How many times do kids say to their mothers, or not even just the kids, husband, how long's tea going to be? It'll be ready when it's finished. Food has a time. Hurry it up. Can you not take it out of the oven and finish it off in the microwave? No. You don't take food out of the oven and put it in the microwave? No. You're going to hell if you do that. No, you're not really, but God gave us fire, not gamma rays. What are you making? Does your work say he has no hands? Okay, Jeremiah 18:4, last scripture. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred. Now, if you come from the north of England, marred and marred sound the same, but they're not the same. Marred is to say the clay's not perfect. It's got imperfections in it. It's got cracks in it, flaws in it, faults, whatever word you want to say, right? But to be marred is to be soft. Soppy. Man up. You might be both. You might be marred and marred. Either way, you're not useful to the Father's assignment. So if you're marred or you're marred, woman up, man up, get yourself a nose job. Get yourself some bow technology. Now, bow. How many of you know God built an ark? How many of you know that it was probably wide. Didn't have containers on it. It had animals. Every one of those had an... Let's just say everyone's got an animal in there. Now, a boat had never been built before. Is that true? Build a boat, Paul. Build a boat. Why do I need to build a boat? Because I told you so. Okay. So he builds a boat according to the specification he's given to him. Do you lot read? In any account, they were all panicking on that boat. Do you read all those animals were freaking out? Sorry, this is a court of law. Do you need to respond? No, you don't read that, do you? What do you read about that ship? They were all at peace. All those animals who wouldn't naturally dwell together. And you had the people inside there. Amos has stunk like rotten. But you don't hear them moaning and complaining. And you don't hear them saying, stop the water. And God sent the rain. And that boat must have been like that. I bet Noah said, we need to find ourselves a song. And we need to sing. No, they were all peaceful. Why? Because the vessel was built according to the way God told Noah to build it. I put to you this morning, if God can build his ark inside of you, it doesn't matter what crazy animal comes past your life. It doesn't matter what, if you stink or they stink. As long as you've got the peace of God inside of you and you're built according to the Maker's instruction, you can go through a flood. Hello? You can go through a flood, providing you're built to the way the Maker says. Mr. Noah didn't come out and say, I'm not doing that ever again. Mr. Noah came out and God made covenant with him. He was a covenant-keeping God. And why? Because he said Noah was a righteous man. A righteous man. So, let's stand to our feet, if we will, please. So, lastly, is that you? Is that you? Or is that a real... Is that you? Is that the real you? I think that's the real me. Not always pretty from the back. But at least I'm upright. I've got all my things, all my ducks in a row. Everything's stable. And I'm going on my direction. Knowing that those waters will not stay that calm. But I'm confident of the way my ship's built. I'm confident that he who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I'm confident that there are things in there that I know may have to go, but the ship won't go down, and I'll keep hold of more stuff than I'll lose. Why? Because in Christ is where the peace of God comes from. I've used ships today, different cargoes, just to show you that we are a lot like a ship. We get swayed, we lose cargo, we need to be steered, and we have a destination to get to. True? So hopefully those pictures, you can identify with one of those pictures. I want you now just to close your eyes, if you will, and I want you to lift up your heart to the Lord, and you know what picture signifies you. If you need the biotechnology to cut through, you've got to ask yourself, Lord, you need to make me. I am a vessel. I'm a living stone vessel that you call me, and you are the potter, I am the clay. Now we know ships are not made out of clay, but the point is he's using metaphorical language to describe us needing to be put into the hands of God, and God being the maker, designer of our lives. So I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, make me. I've lost too much in my life. Too much drag. I've suffered too much drag. My life is still not yet fulfilled. I've tried to breach the hull of the ship by shoving promise stickers on. And it's not stopped. I'm still letting in water. I'm still drifting. I'm still losing. I still don't feel like I've got it all together. Emotionally, psychologically, relationally, financially. Lord Jesus, I ask the peace of God to flood my hull this morning. Fill the hull of my ship. Lord, from this day on, I'm going to find out the context of most of those promises. And I'm going to learn to be responsible with what you say. Hello, come on, church. You've got to learn to be responsible with what God is giving to you. You've got to remember what God has said and why God said what he said. And remember what he said and hold on to it exactly the way he said it. And you will reduce the drag in your life. If you do that. Come on, just lift up your voice. Lift up your voice to the Lord this morning. Oh, Father. Mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God. Every ship, every vessel is built to a dimension. It's built to a size according to its purpose. So that when they put the weight on it, whether it's fuel or cargo, it can handle the ship and the ship doesn't capsize like that blue one we saw in our initial picture. That was never designed to be on its side. Something drastic went wrong in that picture for that ship to end up on its side. That cannot be you. But if you are on your side this morning, call out to the God of heaven. And he will bring you upright and buoyant. That's his promise to us. If that's you, call out to him and say, Father, bring me upright through the mighty name of Jesus.